Hare 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 Sankirtan Yakyaki Iskon Midrand Yatraki Go Premanande. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru. Do you have a set of Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yes, I do.
I have the sixth Gita. Oh, Hare Krishna. Overwhelming. I certainly don't deserve it.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you all for coming. Very nice to be here with you all. So, yes, well, such a nice way to spend a Saturday afternoon. Thank you. Where are my glasses? We will read a verse from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is very interesting because it is discussing particularly the subject of how a little Krishna consciousness, well, you could say a little Krishna consciousness goes a long way. Something like that. That even though people, certain people, may not be very Krishna conscious, or perhaps some other people may have some very, even though they're trying to be devotees, but they're facing very serious problems, but still, if, well, by the mercy of the Lord, if one sticks to Krishna consciousness, then everything works out by the mercy of the Lord. Like this. In the sixth canto, there is the story, first of all, of Ajamil. Ajamil, I think most of you would have heard the name before. Ajamil was a very sinful person and very degraded person with all bad habits. And he was a criminal, very violent and extremely dishonest and so on like that. So really he was a rogue. He was a great rogue. But somehow he got a little Krishna consciousness, more or less by accident, just coincidentally, really. But, so he got that Krishna consciousness, and he didn't understand or appreciate the value of it. But still, even though he didn't try to put it to good use even, but still he got very amazing result in the end. That's the beginning of the sixth canto. And then the rest of the sixth canto, or a lot of the rest of the sixth canto, is the story of Chitraketu. Chitraketu was actually a great devotee. Quite a different person from Ajamil. Very fine devotee king. And, well, everything was going very well for him in his ruling business and in his Krishna consciousness. But then, somehow, it was very extraordinary how it happened. But somehow, he was cursed by Durga. Durga Devi, who's the presiding deity of the material nature. So when you get, you know, it's one thing to be cursed by some ordinary person, but it's another thing to get cursed by the presiding deity of the entire material creation. Then, you know, the odds are against you, you could say, on the material level, because material level means everything which is under her. So anyway, Chitraketu was cursed that you become a demon. Well, we can read one or two verses about that as we go along. So he had to become a demon. At least he had to get the body of a demon. And he got the body of, in that demoniac form, he was known as Vritrasura. And he was really like a monstrous, horrific demon. At least externally, his body, he really looked the part. But he had the heart of a devotee. Because even though he was cursed by Durga, presiding deity of the entire material energy, but because he was actually on the spiritual platform, and Durga, well, of course, she's also a great devotee, but in this case, when it comes to material things, then her control doesn't extend to the spiritual level. Her control is only on the material level, and her cursing was only effective on the material level, you know, up to the limits of the material level, but he was beyond the material level. So on the material level, in terms of his material body, he had to accept the curse, and he got the body of a demon, material body of a demon. But his consciousness, his pure spiritual consciousness, remained unaffected, completely unaffected, even though he was cursed by Durga. So let us just have a look at these two stories a little bit and see what we can learn and see actually what encouragement we may get. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Grandchild. You want a chair or something? Okay, right. So here we go. We all need some encouragement. Oh, what a nice devotee. Oh, you're very nice. Very humble devotee. Yes, we all need some encouragement because we're all having to deal with the material nature. We're all having to deal with this material world. And sometimes things go okay. But sometimes things don't go okay. And we all have to face some obstacles. You understand that, baby? She's got her cow. She's okay. Yeah, so we all have to face some obstacles sometimes, and we need some encouragement so we can face our obstacles in Krishna consciousness and remain in Krishna consciousness despite the obstacles and overcome the obstacles through Krishna consciousness. So, let us read a couple of verses here, which I think should encourage us. So, we mentioned about Ajamil, that he was not a good person, as he was an extremely bad person, but he just circumstantially became engaged in some activity connected with Krishna. He named his son Narayan, which is the name of the Lord. Why did he name his son Narayan? Not because he was thinking this is a good, holy, sacred name, but just because it was a popular name. That was the culture. But it was a name of the Lord, so he was calling out every day, Narayan, where are you? Narayan, come here, and so on. And he was just thinking of his child, but he was getting the benefit of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And in the end, he was delivered, actually. I think many of you know the story, that finally the time of death came, and the Yamadutas came, the messengers of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, and they're very fearsome, very grotesque and monstrous looking creatures. They came to drag him out of his body and take him away to be judged. And of course in his case he would have been sent to hell because he was really extremely bad. But in the middle of all that, the Yamadutas are trying to drag him out of his body and take him away. In the middle of all that, the Vishnudutas came, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, who take the devotees back to Godhead. Or if the devotee has to take birth again, if the devotee is not completely pure, then the Vishnudutas will take the devotee to their next birth. In a devotee family like that. Yeah, not the Yamadutas. So the Vishnudutas came and challenged the Yamadutas that, why are you trying to take this man? And the Yamadutas said that, well, you know, this is Ajamil, he was terrible, and we take such people. And the Vishnudutas said, no, he chanted the holy names of the Lord. So there was some debate between them. The Yamadutas were saying, but he may have chanted the name of the Lord, but he was so terribly sinful. You know, how can a little bit of chanting, calling his son, outweigh all the horrible activities he did for so many years, his whole life practically? But the Vishnudutta said, no, it's like that. It's like that. So the Yamadutas were defeated and Ajamil was delivered. Yes. So let's read now three verses, I think, 45, 46. Anyway, a few verses we'll read, which are glorifying this narration and this, the principles shown in this narration. Ajamil was a Brahmin who, because of bad association, had given up all Brahminical culture and religious principles. Becoming most fallen, he stole, drank, and performed other abominable acts. He even kept a prostitute. Thus he was destined to be carried away to hell by the order carriers of Yamaraj. But he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name Narayan. Just a glimpse. It wasn't the real thing, like from the heart with great feeling. It was just a glimpse, just calling his son. Therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, and meditation and mystic yoga. Because even after following such methods, one takes to fruitive activities again, unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Because this very confidential historical narration has the potency to vanquish all sinful reactions, one who hears or describes it with faith and devotion is no longer doomed to hellish life, regardless of his having a material body, and regardless of how sinful he may have been. Indeed, the Yamadutas who carry out the orders of Yamaraj do not approach him even to see him. After giving up his body, he returns home back to Godhead, where he is very respectfully received and worshipped. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, and although the chanting was directed toward his son, he nevertheless returned home back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? Just see. So this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking here very strongly and very clearly, that in the material world, people get tangled up in so many situations, and if they're impious people, then they try to cope just by working hard and, you know, fighting their way through. If they're impious. If they're pious people, then they'll pray to God or a demigod, or, you know, there's so many different things people do in the name of religion, praying to the ancestors and going to the backdoor temples, the side door temples, the muti men, and try anything. If they're a little more pious, at least they have the idea of turning to God or in the general direction. But here, Ajamil, who had many problems, you know, he had many obstacles in the sense that he was addicted to so many terribly sinful and damaging activities. So he had many obstacles. He was on the impious side. So he had no idea of praying to God or praying to anyone. But he just accidentally, because it was part of the culture in those days, he just decided to call the son of his Narayan. Because because that was a popular name. And then, as we mentioned, he was calling Narayan, come here, Narayan, go there, and so on all day. Narayan, 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 chanting the names of the Lord. But his idea, in terms of his, what he was thinking, he was doing. He was not thinking that here I am chanting the holy names of the Lord. It didn't really occur to him. He was just thinking, here I am calling my son. Yes. So he had many obstacles and many challenges, and finally they all fructified at one time. Confrontation with the Yamadutas. And when you meet the Yamadutas, you cannot talk them out of it. You cannot trick them out of it. You cannot force them out of it. You can't do anything. They win. That's all. What do they say? Heads I win, tails you lose. It's like that. With the Yamadutas, you have no chance. So he saw these fearsome beings coming to get him, coming to take him away. And naturally, he became very deeply disturbed, and his mind was racing. What to do? How to deal with this? What strategy to employ? But he couldn't handle it. So he lost control. And in that mood of bewilderment and confusion, he called out for his child, Narayan. Narayan, who was about 5. How old are you now?
9.
Oh, a lot smaller than him. See, half the size. Just a 5-year-old boy. What was 5-year-old Narayan meant to do against a gang of big Yamadutas? We don't know. But this was all that Ajamil could think of under the circumstances. But anyway, because he was calling Narayan, then he was delivered as we described. Yes, so the point is, and the point is made here in these verses that we read, that at least if you're on the pious side, religious side, and, you know, it's not a question of if problems come to you, it's just a problem of when problems come to you. Yeah. See? Agreement. It's not a question of if challenges are going to come. It's just a question of when. So when the problems come, then which way are we going to turn? So this is describing here very clearly that Ajamil, just by a glimpse of the holy name, a glimpse, but he got such huge mercy from just a glimpse. You know, sometimes it's said that his chanting was in the stage which is called Namabas. Namabas means that it's, well, in this case it's done unintentionally, not consciously, just done somehow. Like, you know, classic example is Rama Margarine. They still sell Rama Margarine? Actually, no, it's all over the world, Rama Margarine. Would you believe it? It's in Russia, it's everywhere. So people are saying, give me some Rama. Rama. No, not that one. Rama. I want Rama. So it's completely unintentional in terms of any connection with God. Yeah. But they're getting some result. It's not that they're not getting a result. They're getting a result like Ajamil. That was what his chanting was like. Narayan, Narayan, but it had nothing to do with the Narayan. It was to do with something else, his son. But see the incredible, wonderful result he got from just a glimpse. or just a reflection. Sometimes that Namabhas is referred to as a dim reflection of the real holy name, the real thing. The real thing is so much more and can give so much more. Even the dim reflection, though, can give liberation, deliverance, salvation from all your problems. Even a glimpse, even a dim reflection. Just like when you look in a mirror. Well, dim reflection means not when you look in a mirror. It's like when you look in a window. Isn't sometimes when you're in the shopping center, you see these people go by, they stop, look in the window. How am I looking, you know? But it's not like when you look in an actual mirror. It's just a dim reflection. Yeah. But even in the case of the Holy Name is so powerful that what to speak of the real thing when it is manifest in its entirety with all its power, but just a dim reflection, just a glimpse. You know, glimpse means it's there, but then it's gone. It's like that. Just a glimpse, just a dim reflection can deliver, and delivered a Jamil. So even a dim reflection is so wonderful. Sometimes we illustrate this point, that dim reflection, a dim reflection of something nice, we would think is not that special, just a dim reflection of it. You know, like if, just imagine people, that if you wanted to marry someone, and you asked them, so, okay, will you marry me, please? And they said, well, no. But you can marry my reflection. And not the mirror reflection, but my reflection in the window. Is that okay? Then you would not think it's okay. Even if it was a mirror reflection, you would not think it's okay. Because what relationship, what are you going to get from the mirror image or a glimpse like that? You can marry a glimpse of me. You can see me for a split second every now and then. That you can marry. So, but the dim reflection, the glimpse of the holy name of the Lord is so immensely powerful that it can give liberation. There's in Chaitanya Charitamrita a very nice description of how Raghunath Das Goswami's uncles, they're extremely wealthy men, and every weekend they had like a hall attached to their living quarters. Every weekend they would invite the devotees over and have a gathering like this. Yeah, it was a program every weekend. No, they did not sit at home watching TV. They would gather and have a religious Krishna conscious program. So one time they decided to have a program. Well, one time Haridas Thakur, whose disappearance day it is today, he was in the area, and they thought, well, seeing he's here, and he's such a great authority on the chanting of the holy names, let us dedicate our program this weekend to a discussion of the holy names, and he can lead the discussion. It was very nice. So they had this program, and Haridas Thakur spoke, and he said, and actually the program began by different people saying what they thought the results of chanting the holy names were. So someone said that, I think that when you chant the holy names, you become free from your bad karma, meaning all those things that cause you trouble. I think you become free from all your bad karma. Another one said, well, I think that when you chant the holy names, you can get liberation, salvation from the whole material situation. And then Haridas Thakur took the floor and he said, you know, what you've said is okay, but you should know that these things you've mentioned, they can be achieved by just a dim reflection of the holy name, not by the holy name when it is completely present and active. Just a dim reflection. So there was one smarter Brahmin there. Smarter Brahmin means, you know, very much fixed in the idea that I'm born in a Brahmin family, therefore I am just naturally a priestly, spiritual, intellectual type. And yeah, so he was like that, very puffed up, thought he knew a lot. Gopal Chakravarti. So this Gopal Chakravarti got up and he protested that, what is this? You say that just a dim reflection of the holy name can give liberation. Don't you know what scripture says? That after performing pious activities for many lifetimes, you may get liberation. It's a big thing, not just some dim reflection. And then you get liberation. He said, that's crazy. Why? You shouldn't say things like that. It's irresponsible. And Haridas Thakur said, no. I'm not saying this. Shastra, scripture is saying this. And he quoted some verses which make this point. But Gopal Chakravarti, he didn't want to listen. And he became irritated. He became angry. And he jumped up. And he said that, you know, you, who are you? Who do you think you are saying all these things? He said, if what you have said is not true, in other words, if it is not true that a dim reflection of the holy names can give liberation, he said, this Gopal Chakravarti said, I curse you that your nose will fall off. And Haridas Thakur said, no problem. He said, if what I have said is not true, then I will cut my own nose off and give it to you. And then the whole meeting broke out into a bit of an uproar. 3 days later, Gopal Chakravarti got leprosy and his nose melted and fell off, and his fingers and toes and ears. You know how, if you know how leprosy works. So, when everyone heard that, then they thought, wow, just see the potency of Haridas Thakur. This man offended Haridas Thakur in this way, and see what he got, and how he got it. So actually it's true, just a dim reflection of the holy names can give so much. What to speak of the pure holy name chanted from the heart with real feeling and sincerity and dedication. That's what this last verse says, that while suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, and although the chanting was directed toward his son, he nevertheless went back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name, where is the doubt that he'll return back to Godhead? And, you know, along the way, or just as a minor side issue, all the problems of daily existence will be solved. Just as a little byproduct without having to make any type of endeavor. So this is the chanting of the holy names. This is Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness. Are you all familiar with the story of Nanda Maharaj at Pavan Sarovar? Who of you are familiar with that story? Oh, you're familiar. See, there's one nice story about Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's father, and something which happened to him at Pavan Sarovar, which is just near Nandagram where he lives with Krishna, which illustrates this point very nicely, how the chanting of the holy names and Krishna consciousness in general, how it is the supreme process, has the supreme potency and gives the supreme results. So just try and listen to this, it's very interesting. That Krishna one time, there at Nandagram, Krishna saw that his mother, Mother Yashoda, was frying all sorts of nice little snacky things, like kachoris, samosas, pakoras, probably making some paturi and dokla and pata, of course, pata must be there, and some chutneys to go with them. So all this was going on, Krishna saw. And so he approached Mother Yashoda and said, "Mata, are these for me, Mata?" Expecting that naturally they would be for me. But Mother Yashoda said, "No, no, no, no. These are not for you. These are for your father, Nanda Maharaj. He's going away on a long journey. He's going on pilgrimage to Prayag. So this is his Padkos." Is that correct pronunciation?
Padkos.
Padkos. Excuse me. Padkos. This is Padkos. So Krishna went to Nanda Maharaj and said, "Peter, where are you going, Peter? You're going Prayag." And Nanda Maharaj said, "Yes, I am going on pilgrimage to Prayag." And Krishna asked, "Why are you going, Peter? Why are you going to Prayag? This is a long way away, hundreds of kilometers." So Krishna, why are you going to Prayag, Peter? Is that outside Vrindavan, Peter?" And Nanda Maharaj said, "Yes, long way, way outside. Why are you going, Peter?" And Nanda Maharaj said, all year, I'm doing so many materialistic activities, and I'm getting so many karmas, so many reactions are being stored up all year. So I want to go to Prayag because there is the confluence of the Ganges, Yamuna and Saraswati, these sacred rivers, and I want to bathe in those waters at Prayag and get cleansed of all the sinful reactions I've been building up over the year, and then I'll come back refreshed." So Krishna was not very happy. Nanda Maharaj said, "Oh, look, before I leave, I'll go down to Pavan Sarovar. It's a lake down the bottom of the hill at Nandagram. I'll go down to Pavan Sarovar, take my bath, then I'll leave. So you come with me to Pavan Sarovar while I take a bath." So they went down the hill. He was holding Krishna by the hand. The other hand he was holding his patkos. And Krishna, as they're walking down, Krishna pulled on his hand, "Peter, Peter, give me one samosa, Peter." And Nanda Maharaj said, No, no, no. Long journey. Oh. You don't want to that I have to buy Simba chips on. Long journey. I need all my podcasts. So they got down to Pavan Sarovar. Nanda Maharaj was just about to dive in and take his bath. Then they noticed on the other side, there was one big man. Big, really big man. But very handsome and beautifully dressed. And with amazing ornaments and everything, just looking like a demigod. And this man dived into Pavan Sarovar, and then he climbed out, roaring with laughter, and just rolled in the dust, and turned around and dived in again. Came out roaring with laughter. This was going on. And Krishna said, Peter, who's that man, Peter? Who's that man? Nanaraj said, well, I don't know. I never saw him before. So they went over to speak to that man. Nanda Maharaj said, my dear sir, please tell me, what is your good name? That big man said, my name is Prayag. Nanda Maharaj said, Prayag? What do you mean Prayag? What sort of name is that? The man said, I am the personality of that sacred place where the Ganges, Yamuna and Saraswati meet. This is where Nanda Maharaj was thinking of going. I am the personality of that place. Nanda Maharaj said, but what are you doing here at Pavan Sarovar? Oh, just one other thing which I forgot is, this was on Akshaya Tritiya, the Chandan Yatra day, the beginning of Chandan Yatra day. It's May, sometime in May. So that big man Prayag said, all year the pilgrims come and bathe in my waters. They leave all their sinful reactions on me. So once a year, on Akshaya Tritiya, I come here to Pavan Sarovar, and I bathe in Pavan Sarovar, and I become free of all those reactions. Then I go back feeling refreshed. Nanda Maharaj said, oh, I see. He became very thoughtful. Then Prayag grabbed him, said, look, see over there. See the woman there in the corner with the green sari on. She's Ganga Devi. You see the man back there with the white shirt? He's Bhadrik Ashram. And you see the other woman there? She's the river Kaveri. And then they saw, there were hundreds of these people around Pavan Sarovar. Big, handsome, beautiful looking people. Amazingly dressed and just diving into Pavan Sarovar. Rolling in the dust. And Prayag said, we all come here on Akshaya Tritiya. We all come here. Because all year people come and bathe in our waters and they leave all their karma on us. So once a year on Akshaya Tritiya, we all come here to Vrindavan. We all come to Pavan Sarovar. And we bathe here. And we get freed from all those reactions. Then we go back refreshed. Nanda Maharaj was speechless. Krishna said, Peter, When are you leaving, Peter? Nanda Maharaj took Krishna by the hand and said, you come with me, we're going home. Krishna said, Peter, when you're not leaving, when are you leaving, Peter? When are you going, Prayag? When are you going, Prayag? Nanda Maharaj said, I'm not going. Krishna said, why are you not going, Peter? Why are you not going? Why are you not going, Prayag? Nanda Maharaj said, I changed my mind. So then they're walking up the hill. He's holding Krishna in the hand. Still got his putkos. Krishna pulled on his hand. Peter, Peter, give me one samosa now. Nanda Maharaj just looked at him. Looked at the bag of putkos. He just gave it all to Krishna. So you take it all. I don't need it now. So like this we see that Vrindavan Dham is the topmost of all holy places. Krishna is the topmost of all deities. Devotional service to Krishna is the topmost of all activities. The holy name, the holy names of Krishna are the topmost of all names. There's nothing which compares. There's nothing which compares. Nothing which can begin to compare. And the story of Ajamil is showing that also very clearly. That he was chanting. He was also chanting. But there was no intention to chant nicely, to chant properly, to chant a certain number of times, to get up early and chant nicely. There were no intentions like this at all. He just adopted the name for his son. That's all. It was nothing more than that. But still, even though it was just like a dim reflection of the holy name, not the real holy name in all its glory and power, just like a glimpse of the holy name, like that, like a shadow of the holy name. You know, imagine if someone, if you ask someone if you could marry them and they said no, but you can marry my shadow. It wouldn't be very nice, would it? Because there's nothing there, really. Even though it's based on you, it's connected with you, and so on and so on. But there's no substance. So even the holy name, when it is chanted, I mean, not that the holy name really becomes compromised, but when the condition of the chanter is so compromised that their contact is just like in the sense of a dim reflection, not because of the holy name, because of them, then, but still Ajamil, he got liberation, and a little later he went back to Godhead. So what about if a person really seriously chants? Then it's going to be very amazing, actually. It's going to be very incredible. The results will be absolutely glorious. So that's a lesson. Now, if you'll bear with me, I will read another couple of verses which are about Vritrasura, Chitrikatu. We mentioned earlier, perhaps some of you were not here, that in the sixth canto, there are two main stories which are illustrating this point in different ways. The one is Ajamil, who's illustrating that even if you are out of it, severely out of it, but still if you have some contact with Krishna, you can get a great result. Then the story of Chitrikatu, King Chitrikatu, illustrates that even if you are a devotee, he was a very great devotee, but somehow you get into some extremely serious problem. But still, even though it may affect you in certain respects, I mean materially, but it will not actually affect you, meaning your spiritual condition, your Krishna consciousness. So Vritrasura, even though he was cursed by Durga, but he remained transcendental. He remained a pure devotee. Even though his body became the body of a demon. So, first thing I'll read is, if I can find it, is when he was cursed. So he was cursed by Durga. What happened was that he was traveling in his aeroplane and he came to Kailash, the place of Lord Shiva, and he saw Lord Shiva sitting surrounded by saints, saintly, you know, great renunciates, mendicants, people like that, right deep in the forest. And Lord Shiva was instructing them on Krishna consciousness. But then Chitraketu noticed a really strange thing, was that while Lord Shiva was sitting there instructing the sages and sannyasis, his wife Durga was sitting on his lap. Which is not what you expect when someone is giving a spiritual discourse. So Chitraketu saw this and he laughed. Now, I know we won't go into all the details of the whole story because it's quite involved, but there is a discussion about why did he laugh? Why did he laugh? Did he think Lord Shiva was stupid, therefore he laughed? Or why did he laugh? Now Durga assumed that Chitraketu thought that Lord Shiva was stupid, therefore he laughed. And therefore she cursed him. You become a demon. But in this discussion, all sorts of other ideas are presented of why he may have laughed. Like, for example, Srila Prabhupada mentions very interesting possibility if you think about it, that there's Chitraketu, he's a pure devotee, he's not just, you know, some devotee, he's a great exalted pure devotee of the Lord, and he sees Lord Shiva, and he knows, of course he knows Lord Shiva is also a great exalted pure devotee of the Lord. In fact, he is a type of avatar of the Lord himself. So Prabhupada suggests that maybe Chitraketu laughed because he was thinking that if the people in general heard about this, they would do back flips and side flips and they would become bewildered, like, you know, out of this world. It would be so funny to see how they reacted because they're so stupid. So maybe he was laughing, thinking, wow, you know, if people see this, stupid people see this, they're going to react so stupidly, it'll be hilarious. And therefore he laughed. Different possible reasons why he might have laughed. Anyway, the thing is that Durga cursed and said, O impudent one, my dear son, now take birth in a low, sinful family of demons, so that you'll not commit such an offense again toward exalted saintly persons in this world. Shukadeva Goswami said, my dear King Parikshit, when Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, he descended from his airplane, bowed before her with great humility, and pleased her completely. Yes. After Chitraketu satisfied Lord Shiva and his wife, he boarded his airplane and left as they looked on. When Lord Shiva and Parvati saw that Chitraketu, although informed of the curse, was unafraid, they smiled, being fully astonished by his behavior. And then Lord Shiva says, this is now Lord Shiva speaking, and this is one of the famous verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, out of the 18,000, there's maybe 100 or less verses which are the most outstanding verses. This is one of them. Spoken by Lord Shiva. Narayana para sarve na kutasjana bibhyati swargapa varga narakeshu apitulyata darshanam. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. This is Lord Shiva speaking in astonishment. That look at this Chitraketu. He just got cursed to become a demon. And what did he do? He humbly bowed down and accepted it and spoke nicely to pacify Durga and him. He did not say that, no, please, don't curse me. No, please, I'm a good guy, I didn't mean it. And all that sort of thing. He didn't do like that. He didn't get angry. Why me? It's not fair. Why you curse me? What are you doing? I'm going to put in an appeal. I'll make a complaint. I'll curse you. No, he didn't do any of these things. He just accepted Hare Krishna and offered his obeisances and went. And so Lord Shiva's saying, wow, look at that. These devotees are so amazing. Whether they go to heaven, the heavenly material planets, whether they go to the hellish planets and have to undergo severe difficulties, whether they get liberation, it doesn't really matter. They just remain fixed in their devotional service, fixed in Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important example for us. We, of course, we are not on the level of Chitraketu, but still these lessons are there. I mean, these examples are there for us to learn from. They're not just stories. They're examples. So from this we should understand that not if we encounter some obstacles, not if we encounter some challenges, but when we encounter some challenges, not if, just when, then we should try and meet them in the same way. Yes, we have to try and meet them in the same way and depend on the Lord and not get all, you know, into a big fuss about it. This is very important. This is very important, no, not just to say that, well, Chitraketu was so advanced, he could do it, but look at me. You know, if I got cursed, then I would go into a flap and start begging and pleading and running to all the backdoor temples. And all this sort of stuff. calling for the tikalosh. San Colin, San Gomer, down to the Amgeni Road Temple, Isipingo Temple on Good Friday, one black fowl. No. Even though we are beginners and Chitraketu is right on the topmost platform, but we should follow in his footsteps. This is what it's about. Follow in the footsteps of the great devotees. Not that we just do what our mind tells us, because what is our mind? It's just a conditioned mind. But if we follow the great devotees and adopt their approaches, then, well, imitation of a good thing is good. If Albert Einstein says 1 and 1 equals 2, and if a child says 1 and 1 equals 2, it's the same. So if we can follow in the footsteps of the great devotees, then we can also make progress and overcome these difficulties. Yeah, when they come. So like this. And then, so he was put in the body of a demon and he became Vritrasura, but his consciousness remained the consciousness of a devotee. And let me just read his final verses just before he died. He was killed by Indra. It's a long story, but eventually he was killed by Indra. And just before he was killed, he spoke 4 very amazing verses. Hare Krishna. 4 very amazing verses. We'll just read these, then we'll close. Aham me hare tava padaika mula das anudaso bhavatasmi bhuya manas male tasu patir gunams te grinitava karma karotukaya. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your lordship. So he had to take the body of a demon, and externally his position was, it was an obstacle. It was an obstacle. But for his mind, for his consciousness, he never succumbed to it. But he was always feeling, I want the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, nothing else. I will not accept anything else. Nanak prishtam na cha parameshtyam na sarva bhomam na rasadi patyam na yoga siddhir apunabhavam va samanjasa tva virahaya kangshe. O my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Dhruvaloka, the heavenly planets, or the planet where Lord Brahma resides. Nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets or the lower planetary systems. I do not desire to be master of the powers of mystic yoga, nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. Ajatapaksha eva mataram kagar stanyam yata vatsa tarashudarta priyambrieva jitavishanna Manoravindaksha didrikshate tvam. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them, as small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking when they'll be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, or as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfier in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. Mamota Mishloka Janeshu Sakyam Samsara Chakrei Brahmatasva Karma B Twan Maya Yat Matmaja Daragehe Shu Asakta Chit Yasya Nanatabuya. O my Lord, my Master, I am wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy, but I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached only to you. So even though he was placed in this very, because of the curse, materially a very dangerous situation in the body of a demon, and finally he was killed, but his consciousness remained fixed on the Lord, despite the obstacles, challenges, and difficulties that he had to face, even ultimately death. But he remained completely fixed on the Lord, and as a result, he was always beyond these things. He never succumbed to these things and he never just became like wallowing in his difficulties. He always remained above them, and always hankering to be with the Lord and engaged in the Lord's service. So what do you all think? Should we try and do like that? Do any of you ever face any difficulties? No, you don't. You're laughing. You obviously don't. Well, congratulations. But if any of you ever do, just try and follow in the footsteps of Chitraketu. Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So now what we'll do is we will have just a little kirtan just to conclude, and then we will take prasad. Is that okay? Would you like to stand up for the kirtan?
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Yeah.
Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gavana Shamkan Radha Kunigiri Gavadani Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Sri Mathwa Dham Ki Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Sri Sri Nitai Gora Hari Ki Sri Sri Nitai Sachi Sutta Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Sankirtan Yajna Ki God Brahmananda All glorious to the Assembly of Deities All glorious to the Assembly of Deities All glorious to the Assembly of Deities All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada.